Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
We're talking burglaries. And I was saying with Ciara Doherty earlier that some of the latest figures around burglaries have been released. And there is a clear national divide. It has emerged that Roscommon have the lowest crime rate by some distance. And the highest burglary rates in Ireland last year were all along the East Coast, with levels over 50% above the national average recorded in Dublin, Wicklow and Louth. Now, before I make you frightened in your beds later, I should also point out that overall burglaries and break-ins are down. And I think that comes with the idea that we have more sophisticated security systems now than ever before. Myself and producer Heather were talking about how the Ring doorbell has become like a new streaming platform for us all to be keeping an eye on who's coming and going from our property. So overall, they are down, but they are still happening. So we want to hear from you. Have you experienced a burglary and how did it affect you? You can get in contact with us for free. You can WhatsApp 087 1400 106 or you can email lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. We'll go to the phones and Caroline is on the line. Caroline, what's your experience?
We were burgled back in December 2019. It was a Sunday. We were going out for the afternoon. We left the house with my husband thinking, I put the alarm on. He thought, I put the and I thought he put the alarm on, and as it was, neither of us did. So basically, we went out. The house was not alarmed. The dog was inside, but he was fine. And when we came back, it was about 5 o'clock, so it was dark by the time we came back. And we walked in, and it was a bit weird. We walked in, there were some cushions in the front hall, which I couldn't work out why. And then we went into the back of the house and into our kitchen. And it was suddenly really cold, and basically there was a huge hole in our French doors, which are triple glazed. But what they'd done was they'd got the barbecue gas canister and they'd literally smashed their way through and then crawled through this opening. And basically they kind of had just, it was obviously opportunistic burglary, because they literally had gone through the house so quickly. There was hardly any damage or anything like that, so we were very lucky. They just basically took some items of jewellery, which, you know, apart from the sentimental value attached to those things, it wasn't the end of the world. We hardly have any cash in the house anyway, so there was no cash for them. The weird thing was that I had bought some Christmas presents because it was lead up to Christmas, and they hadn't touched any of them, and there was like a new kind of pack of AirPods and things like that, and they just hadn't taken them. So it was obviously they were in and they were out really, really quickly. I mean, my main concern was the dog was okay, and he was. So that was kind of the experience.
I know. I mean, if only you could have downloaded the dog and found out a little bit more. He was an eyewitness to the whole situation.
It's funny, actually, because we had a little Nest camera in our hallway. So the dog had obviously been barking when they broke in. And that's what afterwards we worked out. The guard said to us that basically they'd walked into the hallway not knowing what to expect. So they'd taken the cushions in case the dog was aggressive. And that's why there were cushions in the front hall. And actually on the camera, you could see then the dog is jumping up at them and licking them and like basically welcoming them into the house. So he's not the best guard dog in the world, but in a way it was better he did that, because then at least they weren't threatened by him, so they didn't do anything to him. So, you know, it's not a nice experience, obviously, but compared to a lot of people who've been burgled, I think we were really lucky. They didn't damage anything. You know, you hear some really bad stories about what people like that can do. And they didn't hurt my dog. So ultimately, you know, it was a few bits of jewellery. And, you know, it could have been a lot worse.
But how did you feel about the fact that there were strangers in your home taking your stuff?
Yeah, that's not a nice feeling. It's not a nice feeling, but again, they were in and out within minutes. So they hadn't rifled through cupboards and drawers. And so I didn't, you know, some people, and I totally understand why, would feel violated by it. But I think for us, we were just relieved, no damage, little taken, and the dog was fine. So I think we kind of were looking at it on the positive side as much as you can in an experience like that.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I like that attitude. Otherwise, you know, you're bitter, you're scared, and it impacts on your life. You mentioned the alarm a couple of times, so you think that was significant. Were you told by the guards that had you had your alarm on, that would have been more of a deterrent because now you've got a barking dog and an alarm that might bring the neighbours in? So do you feel that was part of your downfall, as it were?
Without a doubt, absolutely. Because if this, because as soon as they would have started ramming on the back doors, the alarm would have gone off. So they would have scarpered. And the guard kind of said that's totally what would have happened. Because they were kids. You could see they were like teenagers by the size of them when they came in the house. So definitely the alarm was a big part of that. And also the fact that we'd gone out at 2 o'clock when it was light. It was, I don't know, 5:30 when we got back, but it had happened, you know, as the light had gone. So probably if we'd had like lights going on at different times, you know, how you can set it up on those gadgets, but we didn't have that. So that was definitely a downfall as well.
Okay. And Caroline, this positive mental attitude that you brought to handling the burglary, mm-hmm. were you able to bring this to your marriage, that both of you thought you'd put the alarm on and you hadn't? Were you able to maintain a positive equilibrium there?
Yes. Well, we're still together. So and we didn't do too much blaming of the other one. I think we both looked at each other and went, I thought you did it, you know. But look, no, it was one of those things. We've all been in that situation. So it definitely didn't impact us in that way.
It's perfect. Well done, Caroline. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thanks, Claire. Take care.
Thanks, Caroline. I love Caroline's attitude. I really do. Particularly with what she said about, you know, not letting it impact on your life. But her experience of the dog is really fascinating to me as well. We have a dog. He's only with us 8 months now. So I always wonder, how would he react? You do assume when you have a dog, it's a guard dog, but then you're letting strangers to them into your house the whole time in your friends. So how do they know the difference? I mean, I suppose the clue is in the idea that, you know, most of them come through the front door, whereas these guys were coming through the window with a gas canister. But yeah, I'd imagine my dog would end up licking and jumping up on anybody. We'd like to hear from your experience of break-ins. My elderly aunt was broken into, says another. Before the break-in, she was extremely independent, lived on her own, did everything for herself. Since the break-in, she's a shell of her former self and has since had to move into a nursing home, ruined her life. And it is a violation of your personal space. And I think it must make a difference if you live on your own. I mean, even Caroline said, look, we didn't have the alarm on. So even being more vigilant with the alarm gives you an air of safety, and the fact that you've someone else in the home. So I completely understand that one. And also something we can have shared identifying with is this text. The video doorbell has actually become an obsession for my husband, says a texter. He spends half his life watching it. What can I say? It's interesting. Let's go to the phones where Damien is on the line. Damien, tell us your experience of break-ins. This has happened twice in your family.
Yes, Claire. Thank you. Yes, a few months before I met my future wife, she told me that some pair of people apparently got up on the balconies and come in on the fourth floor while she was asleep and her keys locked into the door on the interior. And they took, it turned out, some small change they found and left by the same balcony window. And down the balcony structures, three of them, that's about 35 feet, and escaped. But the guards come out and found a footprint on the balcony window ledge and said that they definitely come in through that window. They left the keys, thankfully. And my wife just got over it and laughed about it. But 20 years later, when another property of ours was broken into, she was devastated. So it's true to say that women suffer greatly from break-ins, even if very little's taken. And in the second burglary, they damaged the exterior door, and really they wrecked it. And they broke an interior door into the kitchen. But again, it seemed to be a very fast operation, and I never discovered anything that was stolen. But it's the psychological harm on women in particular that it remains with me. And I'm so grateful I didn't lose any property. But I was told never to lock the interior doors because they'd break all the doors to get into the various rooms. And so it's the first incident was 30 years ago, and the second then 20 years later. And the difference in the outlook of my wife really pointed up how serious this matter is. But yeah, the guards were marvellous in the way they dealt with the first incident.
And I wonder, Damien, I mean, because it's really frightening to me now to think of your wife asleep in bed with a stranger in the house. That's very unnerving. So, you know, she decided to just say, look, you know, we're alive and well, let's just move on and park it. But perhaps the second time brought it all back and kind of dissolved that positive mental attitude she was able to keep going up until then.
Absolutely. You know, she was in bad health then in the last incident, about 2013. And so that played on her mind. And she didn't want to go back into the house at all after that. I should never have told her, really. In the first instance, it was apparently more than one, according to what the Gardaí found, that there were footprints at the balcony window ledge. So it could have been terrible for her, but she was so grateful that the keys were left in the interior door. They might have made noise if they'd used the keys, so they slipped out through the window again. But they were risking their lives, and the guards concluded that they may well have been drug addicts that did it, and did it for desperation, and took that risk of going up three balconies, which would scare the life out of me, I can assure you.
Yeah, and so, is that something you use to make peace with it, Damien? I mean, it doesn't excuse it. This is a violation. This is a crime. But they talk a bit about survival crimes. And as you say, there are people in the grips of addiction, of poverty. Does that in some way help you make sense of it?
Yes, I can see that. But in my case, I was greatly gratified and consoled by neighbours that repaired the back doors in the property that was burgled in 2013, and to be able to rely on decent neighbours. And I know of other cases where people came to the rescue of people living on their own. One friend of mine, the burglar put his foot in through the window and put it on her bed, and she let such a roar that he disappeared very quickly. But it could be a very dangerous thing to pursue people, because there are anecdotal cases of people that were killed going after burglars. Not a good idea at all.
Yeah, no, that's a good point to make. Damien, thanks for coming on. I'm sorry that happened to you and your wife. And that is a good point that Damien makes. Sometimes the worst in people can bring out the best in others, and to feel that community and that support from neighbours can sometimes really help to console during very difficult times. A texter says, our house was broken into while we were asleep. They didn't take much, but we've never felt safe in the house since. It is hugely unsettling. Another says, my daughter was in the house on her own one morning about 9 a.m. and two lads broke in, dragged her around the house trying to get her to show them where money was. She has never recovered. That's over 10 years ago. She can't be in the house on her own ever since. That is seriously tough stuff. You can let us know if it has happened to you. You can get in touch with us by emailing lunchtimelive@newstalk.com, or you can WhatsApp us for free, 087 1400 106. When I was in my early 20s, I was sharing an apartment in Dublin city centre, and we were broken into. And I still have a huge shoe collection, and I had them all in their boxes still, and every single one of them were taken. But that was about the height of what I had that was valuable. I was able to move on from it, but we'd like to hear your stories. I'll go back to the phones. We've Ivan on the line. Ivan, how are you?
Not so bad.
You had to up your security because of a break-in.
Well, we have a farmyard here as well. We had quads and that stolen, but that's not so bad. My house was, our house was broken four times maybe in the last 15 years, but only last year, was broken into, and my wife's jewelry, well, her mother's ring that she had, a few valuables from her mother, was taken. But it was an alarm in the house, and we had cameras in the house, but we're in a rural area, if you know what I mean. So I did get notification, but she was about 10 miles away and my wife was about 5 miles away, but they just broke a window in, and they went in and robbed the bedroom and were gone again. Before we have the camera footage, but they have balaclavas on them, you know.
Yeah, and it's the sentimental stuff, isn't it? I mean, some things are replaceable. I mean, I think for somebody to break in and take farming equipment, I know it happens to a lot of people that they have their work tools taken, and you know, and that is really damaging. But it's something that you can't replace. A mother's wedding ring is quite literally irreplaceable.
Well, that was the fourth time I've broken into, like, over 15 or 16 years now, but that affected my wife, and yeah. an awful lot now. It was just because our mother's stuff was taken on her. It was in the middle of the day, which is not too bad. If it was broken when you were in the house at night, probably different scenario, but it was in the middle of the day. At least no one was in the house when the break-in was going on, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, but we did get, I did get notification on that on the camera, but she did balaclava, she didn't know who they were. So they weren't even 4 minutes, I'd say, in the house, just in, took the cover off the pillow and threw all the stuff into the cover of the pillow, if you know what I mean, the pillow cover, and out and gone.
And you've cameras and everything. Did you have alarms, all of that?
Yeah, alarms, yeah, the whole lot, phone watch, yeah. And they rang me and all. I was near the place and I went on, but sure, again, I got there, they were all gone, you know.
Yeah.
They did a couple of houses in the area on the same road, but we're not far from the motorway, going to Dublin. Like, you know, so, you know, it's an easy for any of them to slip onto the motorway and go, you know, gone. So, anyway, we never got anything back anyway. But the police were very good to come out, they took fingerprints and the whole lot and footage, but all were wearing balaclava, you wouldn't know who they were, you know.
Yeah. And how did you make peace with it, Ivan, and remain feeling safe in your home?
Well, kind of. I was hoping in my own head that if I weren't around the place, they wouldn't come near you. It was only an opportunist, if you know what I mean, when there's no one in the house.
Yeah.
My wife used to be brave enough, she wouldn't mind staying if I was away somewhere, like she'd stay at night, but she wouldn't anymore now stay by herself in the house. But at least it wasn't at night, it was during the day when, I would say it was more opportunist, like they just kind of went around, you could see in the camera, they walked around the house a couple of times and they were looking and they knew, they broke the window in the bedroom and went in just, like it's a bungalow, it's not a two-story,
yeah.
And just went in and they were gone again. They opened the back, they opened the front door and let themselves out that way though, when they were going out. But they weren't long in the house, but it did affect her, but it was, the biggest thing was her mother's stuff that she had got, that kind of.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on, Ivan. And I'm sorry that happened to you and to your wife. And, you know, sometimes you've no choice but to just try and put it behind you. I remember my flatmate at the time, her dad had died suddenly only a few weeks before. And it felt as if most stuff had been taken from my room. That was the window they came in. And there was jewellery that my parents had given me for my 21st. And they had taken just one bracelet from her room. And she apologised to me. And it gave me such perspective. I said, listen, you lost your dad 3 weeks ago. I lost a few boots, shoes and a bit of jewellery. And sometimes you have to kind of take that perspective on it. But it can really have an impact on people. So we're talking about burglaries and whether you've been broken into. You can keep your text and emails coming into us. The email address is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.